Hello, I'm Chris Basden, an editor with AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the J of A podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the revised CPA exam. My guest is John Matar, who is Director of Psychometrics and Research for the AICPA Examinations Team. Hello, John. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So, John, you're one of the people who helps design the CPA exam. You focus on psychometrics and scoring. Let's start off with this. For folks who don't know, just what does a psychometrician like yourself do?
What psychometricians do is they're involved in the design and analysis of tests of any kind. So these could be tests for school children, they could be tests for employment, or they could be licensing tests like the CPA exam. And we really focus on four major things when we work on examinations. The first thing is we focus on working with content experts, in this case, CPAs. We try to determine what should be measured by a test. What are the essential knowledge and skills that a test should be measuring? And we do that in collaboration with CPAs in the case of this exam. And after we figure out what we want to measure, we then work on how we're going to measure it. What types of questions are we going to ask? How many of those questions do we need in a test? And that helps us put together a design of what a version of the CPA exam looks like. For example, what does the audit test look like? A design plan. Now, after a test is administered, then we get down to the number crunching, and we have to be scoring the exam. We do a lot of data analysis during that scoring, and there's a lot that goes on there. And when we're scoring the exam, we can look at things like how reliable the scores are, how consistent are the scores. And after we do all our scoring, we have to do a lot of quality assurance checking to make sure everything's gone well, that all the scores are completely accurate, and that they're ready to go out to the state boards of accountancy and the candidates.
So who else do you work with to help design the exam? It's a long process that involves a lot of people, correct?
That's true. The most important group of people we work with in designing the CPA exam are CPAs. And we have a great network of volunteer CPAs from across the country and across the profession. These people dedicate a lot of their time to work with us on the exam. They put in a lot of hours and they've got a tremendous level of energy and dedication. And as I said, they're from across the profession. So we might have people from large accounting firms, small accounting firms. There are obviously people in public accounting. There are people from business and industry, professors of accounting, and sometimes regulators who might work with a regulatory board or with a state board of accountancy. They're all included in the group of volunteers we work with. We also work with a number of CPAs on our staff at the AICPA, and there are really two groups there. We have a lot of CPAs on the exams team staff, and these folks are dedicated to working on the exam, and they are the ones that really drive the interaction with our volunteer CPAs. There are also a number of other CPAs at the AICPA that we depend on for information. So, for example, people who specialize in the tax area or the audit area or financial reporting, we can make use of their resources and learn things from their interactions with other volunteer committees. So it's really a collaborative effort there. One last group of people we work with outside of psychometrics is a group of people who have a different area of expertise in testing, and they are people that are known as test developers. These are folks who have experience and expertise in writing and editing test questions to meet kind of psychometric and measurement standards. And they help us make sure that every question on the test is going to be a fair and reliable assessment of someone's knowledge or skill.
So I know that you've talked in the past about a couple of key concepts that you look at when designing the exam, validity and reliability. Can you explain what those are and why they are so important?
Validity is all about the concept of, are you measuring with your test what you think you're measuring? So we need to gather evidence that the material on the CPA exam is in fact measuring what we say it is. So if we say that the questions on the audit section are assessing this range of topics and skills in auditing, we need to make sure we have evidence that that's really what they're getting at. And there are a number of ways to do it. Another way to think about validity is, think about if you're aiming for a target, are you hitting that target? So we want to make sure the test is hitting what it's supposed to be getting at. Now, reliability is related. Reliability means how consistent the scores are across test administrations or over time, or really how much you can count on a score. So if a score is highly reliable, or if the test scores are highly reliable, you would expect that if someone took the test today and then they took a different form of the same test with different questions tomorrow, the scores they got on those two would be very close together. So the test would be very consistent and you could count on the scores. If a test were unreliable, those scores might be very different from day to day and you might not be able to count on the score so much. Now, reliability is a critical aspect of test scores, but it's not sufficient. I think another phrase might be it's necessary, but not sufficient. For example, I could have a highly reliable test and I could give it to CPAs and the scores could be very consistent, very reliable. But if the test isn't measuring essential knowledge and skills for CPAs, the test isn't valid. So a test could have high reliability, but lower validity. It doesn't work in reverse, though. For a test to be valid, it has to be reliable. And think of it this way. If a test is really measuring what it's supposed to be doing, it has to be doing so in a consistent way, or some of the times it might be measuring something different. So these two aspects of testing are, one is kind of necessary but not sufficient by itself. That's reliability. So a test really needs to have both of these attributes.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm glad that you brought up the topic of scoring, because it's always a hot topic for test takers. What kind of things do you do to make sure that the scoring is fair for everyone?
Probably the most important thing we do is we define up front very clear specifications for building test forms. So let's say, for example, Chris, you and I are both going to take the FAR exam this month, all right? We're going to get different forms of the FAR exam. So we have to ensure that the version you take is comparable to the version I take. And we do this by looking at the distribution of questions, the number of questions, the difficulty of questions, the content of those questions, and the skills assessed by those questions. And so we've got to balance our test forms on all those criteria. Another critical aspect of fairness is each of the questions has to measure something relevant to entry into the profession. So it has to measure something that's in the published outline of content, or what we call the blueprint of the test. And that's so everybody knows what they're eligible to be tested on. So I wouldn't want to give, for example, you a set of questions that's not in the publicly available blueprint, and then give somebody else questions that are. That wouldn't be fair to you. We also evaluate the questions to make sure that they're clearly worded and that there's nothing unrelated to the critical accounting concept in the question that might prevent you from demonstrating your knowledge of that concept. And this is really called a fairness review of test questions. It's very important in the testing industry that questions are only getting at the concept or the skill you want to measure, and there's not unwanted, say, noise in the question that might prevent some test takers from answering it to the best of their ability.
I see. So here's another popular question that test takers often have about scoring. Why do they have to wait to see their scores?
Well, there are really two aspects to this. In all the years leading up to the next version of the exam, which we just launched this April, we were sending out scores three or four times every quarter. So candidates were getting their scores within, say, 2 to 4 weeks of when they took the test. And that was because we have to do extensive quality assurance analysis on every score before it can go out, because we want to be absolutely sure of the score. Now, candidates have gotten used to that time frame of scores, and that seems to have worked pretty well. So now we're introducing the next version of the exam, and that was launched on April the 1st, and the first testing window ends at the end of May. Now, because it's a new version of the exam, we have to go through a pretty extensive process to establish, with our board of examiners, for them to establish the passing score on this new version of the exam. And that there are a number of steps involved there. One of them is going to be, first, we have to gather all the data from this first quarter and do a lot of analysis on it. And there's a new analysis because it's a new design of the test. That's the first step. The second step is we're going to bring in groups of CPAs to evaluate the test results. And these CPAs will be people who directly supervise the work of newly licensed CPAs. So we want to get people that have the most experience and expertise in dealing with people who are at that point of licensure, and that's the point where the CPA exam comes in. They're going to look at questions that people took in this first window on this new exam, and they're going to look at results for individual, for candidates as a group. They aren't going to know who the candidates are, but they're going to see how did people perform on these different questions. And they're going to go through an extensive rating process. They're going to evaluate all this performance data, and they're going to recommend to our board of examiners a passing score for each section of the test. So this will be done by section. So we'll have a group of people looking at the financial accounting and reporting exam. We'll have a group of people looking at the audit exam and so forth. That's going to take place during the latter part of June. So now we're already 4 weeks from when the end of the testing window was at the end of May. Then during the month of July, we have a lot of analysis to do that, and we're going to review that with a lot of experts in psychometrics outside our team. We want to get a very good independent look at this to make sure this is all lining up correctly and is done according to all professional standards. Then we're going to meet with our board of examiners in August, and they're going to review the results of all of this work. And they're going to establish the passing score for each part of the exam. So that's, I understand that that's going to be a long time for people to wait for scores, but because we have a new version of exams, it's the kind of thing we need to do to set the passing score on the new version.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, the CPA exam is obviously a challenging exam. Can you explain how it is designed to play an important part in the licensure process for the profession?
With any licensure exam, you want to think about what's the purpose of licensure. And the purpose of the CPA license is to protect the public interest. Because if a state is going to grant someone a license to be a certified public accountant, they want to ensure that they have the necessary knowledge and skills to practice in a way that protects the public interest. So we know the level that we're pointing toward. And so we have to think about and work with CPAs to define if someone wants to be an initially licensed CPA in today's environment where public accounting is, where business is today, what are the essential knowledge and skills that that person needs in order to be worthy of being granted that license? And it's important that the profession work together with the state boards of accountancy, the regulators, to ensure that we have a common definition of what that is and that we have a test that's well designed to measure that so that the public can be assured if someone passes all parts of the CPA exam and meets their other requirements, and there are requirements on education and on ethics and experience, when those requirements are all met, the Board of Accountancy can grant a license and the public can be assured that that person has the knowledge and skill that they need to practice effectively.
You know, you've put a lot of years of your professional life into this, and I know that you're very passionate about, you know, helping to develop this exam. Can you talk a little bit about what its launch means to you personally?
I've been at the AICPA working on the CPA exam for 10 years now. And when I got here, we were in the process of developing the second version of the computer-based test. And that was a big project like this one. And we launched that exam in 2011. That was very successful and represented a step forward for the exam and keeping current with the profession. And I've learned in my time here that the CPA profession evolves quickly because the world of business changes rapidly. And we realized as soon as we launched that version in 2011, we had to start thinking about, well, what's the next version? Because we want to make sure we maintain a currency with the current business environment and public accounting in today's world. And so we're always looking to the future and thinking about where does the exam need to be to keep pace with the pace of change. The one thing that I'm always struck by in working on this exam is the work of the volunteer CPA. It is a great honor to work with them and to see their dedication to their profession and their dedication to protecting the public interest. I've been in numerous meetings with volunteer committees over the last 10 years, and they spend a lot of their time on a voluntary basis to make sure that this exam is the best it can be and to meet its mission, which is to protect the public interest. So keeping current, making sure the exam is where it needs to be, and seeing the dedication of the volunteers is really a very positive thing. It's very encouraging to me because it makes me see that the profession itself is driving the process, and we're there to facilitate that process and implement it for them.
Thanks, John. And I'd also like to thank our audience for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out more JFA podcasts on our website and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.